I'm Pastor Tom. For those of you who I didn't get a chance to meet on the way in that are visiting with us, we want to extend a very special welcome to all of you. Our custom and tradition is that the first Sunday of every month, we receive the Lord's table together, the Lord's Supper. And so we will be doing that this morning. This Lord's Supper is open to every person who's a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you profess him as your Lord and Savior by faith through grace, then we encourage you and welcome you to participate with us in the Lord's Supper. If you did not pick one of these up on the way in, Brother Stan is there in the back. Just raise your hand. Brother Stan will be glad to get you. The bread and the grape juice are all part of one piece. We buy these for the COVID environment that we're in and try and make it as sterile as possible. So if you don't have one, just see Brother Stan here. He'll get you one for the moment. So the Lord's Supper is special for us because it serves as a memorial, as a way for us to remember the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us upon the cross. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians about that memorial for us these words. He said, "I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. He said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" And then there's just one warning in this passage, which is important for us to consider as a body of believers. Verse 27 says, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." What that means is you need to be a believer in Jesus Christ to receive these elements. And if you're not a believer, then please don't take it, because Paul says you're eating and drinking in an unworthy manner, and you don't want to do that. So the Lord Jesus has died for us. He has shed his blood for us. He has had his hands and his feet pierced for us. Scripture says, by his wounds we are healed. The salvation of our souls comes through the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us. So let's pray now and ask the Lord to visit us through receiving these elements in just a few moments. God, thank you that you have sent your Son, our Savior, in love from heaven to earth, to bear the weight of the sin of humanity, of all mankind, who would trust in you. Jesus, thank you that you loved us enough to shed your blood and to have your body pierced and broken for us. God, in this moment of thinking of that great sacrifice, we realize our own sinfulness, and we confess those sins to you now, quietly in our hearts. Lord, this week we've said some things we shouldn't have said. We've done some things we shouldn't have done. We've been to places we shouldn't have been. We've had thoughts that should not have entered our mind. And Lord, just as importantly, there's things you've called us to do that we've left undone, that we were too embarrassed or too afraid, or we didn't think we had the strength or the ability to do them. And so we didn't do them, even though we knew you were leading us to do those things. So God, in all of these things, we confess them now to you quietly in our hearts. God, thank you. Thank you for hearing our confession. And thank you that you've given your Son for us. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. New Hope is going to lead us in a beautiful song called Jesus Messiah, which really talks about the sacrifice that Christ made. So you may stay seated and just join the band in leading us in worship in this song.
No sin, he might become his.
Broken and poured out for all of us. Take now and eat the bread of life. And also drink now the cup, which gives us the forgiveness of sins through the shedding of his blood. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, it's with an attitude of gratitude and thankfulness that we receive these elements, and we're grateful that our sins have been washed away. God, thank you for that beautiful promise in Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Thank you and praise you. And all God's people said, amen. Everybody could grab your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. We're going to be looking at one verse of Scripture, which will serve as my way of introducing Michael to all of you. And just a little bit of background about our relationship with Michael and how all this began. So forgive me for those of you that aren't St. Peter's regulars. Just humor me a little bit. This will connect the whole story. We have a lot of people that are new here to St. Peter's, and we want to try and help everybody understand our passion and love for the Dominican Republic and how all of that happened. So in the year 2010, our elders and deacons spent a year fasting and praying and seeking the Lord about a vision for our church. And as we fasted and prayed, the Lord kept taking us to this verse in Matthew chapter 28, which says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." This is a command from Jesus Christ after he had gone to the cross, after he had sacrificed his life, and just before he ascended into heaven. In other words, he assembled his disciples and he told them to go and do what Jesus had been doing with them and for them for the last 3.5 years. Well, this verse led our church to create our vision statement, which very simply says, preparing people for eternity. And if we think about what Jesus did for the 3.5 years that he ministered to the disciples, he did two things primarily. He started with the 12 disciples. He led them to know him as Lord and Savior. And then he helped them to grow in their faith every day. Everything that Jesus did was intentional about growing their faith in breadth and in depth every day. And so following on after the command of Jesus, we want to be doing that here as our church. We want to be leading people to know Jesus Christ, and we want to help those who know him to grow in their faith every day. So once we knew what God had called us to do, then the next question was, how do we do these things? How do we prepare people for eternity? And the Lord led us to center our ministries here around 8 specific areas. What we do here on Sunday morning in worship, through small groups, through men's groups, women's groups, youth and children, through marriage, grief group, and missions. These 8 ministries are the core hallmark of the main ministries that we do. And you will find that these are the main things that our church focus is on. So I want to specifically spend our time this morning talking about the aspect of missions and how God led us to the Dominican Republic. As we fasted and prayed about doing more missions work, we realized that Matthew 28 says, go and make disciples of all nations. It wasn't enough for us to just serve at the soup kitchen here in York County, as important as that is. It wasn't important for us to just work with New Life for Mothers and Children here in Glen Rock, as important as that is. We really sense the Lord calling us to do something around the world somewhere. Yet we're a small church. We have about 200 active members. So there's no way that our little church can literally go to every country around the world. It's just not physically possible that we could ever do that. So we began to pray that the Lord would send us to one place, to one country, that we could invest the rest of our lives, that we could go there regularly, we could find a community that we could see, that we could adopt and embrace, that we would love on them, that we would share with them, that we would bring Jesus Christ to them, and we would do anything that we could to help them to come to know Jesus and to grow in their faith with him. And through a set of circumstances that I won't have time to explain today, but only God could have orchestrated it, we ended up in the Dominican Republic. And for those who don't know geography very well and don't know where the Dominican Republic is, I just put up a little map on the screen so you can see the south coast of Florida there. Right below Florida is Cuba. And then just to the southeast of Cuba is the island of Hispaniola. And the island of Hispaniola has two countries. To the west is the country of Haiti, and then to the east is the country of the Dominican Republic. And so as God led us to the Dominican Republic, we began working in a little town called Barona, which I hope you can see that on the screen here, is just before the Haitian border. So when we go down to the Dominican Republic, we fly into the capital city, Santo Domingo, take about a 3 to 4 hour bus ride over the countryside, beautiful drive, to this little town of Barona. And then we minister in the province of Barona in the surrounding community around that town. As part of our work there, we initially were supporting least of these ministries. It's a feeding ministry that provides rice and beans to the impoverished people that work in the Batays. And a Batay you're going to hear a lot about today. The word Batay simply means village, and it's a place where Haitian immigrants live that work in the sugarcane fields. So initially, our work was through least of these ministries and to the church in Batay 9. A few years later, we began to be involved with the school, and I won't steal Sharon's thunder about that. We're going to talk a lot about our relationship and work in the school there in Batay 9 and how important that has become to train the next generation. As part of our increasing work in the Dominican, we knew that we needed somebody here to head up our effort and our work to center the missions there, and Sharon got a call from the Lord to begin in a real serious and important way to devote her life to the ministry of the Dominican Republic. And then we also knew we needed a missionary with boots on the ground who could be God's hand and God's feet and God's voice on our behalf in the Dominican Republic. And again, through only a set of circumstances that the Lord could arrange, he led us to meet Michael. And from the first time we met Michael and went to the HMM compound in Barona, we just fell in love with him. We realized that we had kindred hearts and that what we do here at St. Peter's is very much Michael's heart. He wants to do the same things that we want to do, namely lead people to know Jesus and help those who know him to grow in relationship with him. So I'm going to ask Sharon and Michael to come up. And as they're coming up, I just want to, one more brief thing. I get this question all the time, and now's the time to address it. Everybody wants to know why we have this rock on our altar. Why is it there for us every Sunday? And the answer is this literal rock came from the town of Barona in downtown through a construction project that some of our guys were working on. And we wanted a tangible way that we could bring a piece of the Dominican Republic home and put it on our altar and remind us every week of our friends down the Dominican Republic. So when you see this rock, hopefully it's a reminder to you of Michael and what he does for us there, of our folks in Batay 9, and it's a reminder of what Sharon and now her brand new husband, Jim, will be doing with her. So that's the story of the rock. We have one more slide. I put this up for Michael. In Spanish, this is the Spanish words for Matthew 28:19, and I won't embarrass my Spanish. We'll let Michael pronounce that, but I put this up on the screen so he would feel a little bit at home. There's a little Spanish on the screen. So welcome, brother. Thanks for being here. Congratulations to the newlyweds.
Good morning, St. Peter.
Good morning.
I'm so glad to be here because I have been watching you through internet. Now I'm here live. I'm so excited. You know, I came all the way from the Caribbean to bring you a little bit of heat to Pennsylvania, George, Pennsylvania. I like it here. I like cold. So I've been enjoying, I've been taken care of so well from this lady here. You know, she had tons of coats and things for me to keep myself hot. So it's very good. So I also want to present, I met her as Miss Sharon Bailey. So now I want to present, the family is growing. So now I have to present Miss and Mr. Suye. So, congratulations. Today, I'm going to talk to you. You know, and normally I speak in Spanish. I preach in Spanish. I don't preach in English. Because in my country, we don't speak English. But when I have some Americans going there, I had to do both. I had to do Spanish, and then I had to do English. So the message makes it longer, double time. So today, I hope I can do the best I can because I had to think here first in Spanish, and then I had to do English. So I don't say it, but I'm thinking of. So it's more longer here than what it comes out. So today I want to talk about perseverance. Persevering through trials, through a trial. And Miss Suye, almost said Miss Bailey. Miss Sharon Suye will read in James chapter 1, verse 2 through 11. So I will talk about that, but before that I want to talk about three people. Which is Solomon, Jesus, and then Miss Uye, which is was Miss Bailey. So I had to start. It's new to me, so it will be hard because everything I know is Miss Sharon Bailey. So I had to subtract Bailey and add Suye. So Miss Sharon, can you read the word?
Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, that perseverance finishes its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plants. Its blossoms falls, and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away, even while they go about their business.
Give me that. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for allowing us to be here today, and thank you so much for your word. Father God, we ask you today to give us the knowledge to understand your word and to put the wisdom to understand what you have for us and what you want us to do. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I say I want to talk about three people. Really, I want to talk about four. The last thing I want to talk is us, all of us. So I said Solomon, and I said Jesus, and then I said Sharon. Okay. In my country, you know, some people, because we are in a third world country, some people will think that Solomon get his wisdom in a divine way. Like, you know, they think that. And I think probably some people up here, it wasn't that way, you know. Solomon was very young before he came to be, you know, when he was taking the decision to be a king, that God called him to be a king. He was very young without wisdom. So imagine a young guy called to be the king of a nation, which is a very nice nation, which is listen everything that God say. They never did that. They were a very, we call it rebellion. Like, we call it reverde. So, which is the same word. Rebellious. So God was giving them all the everything, and all the time God was providing, but they still not trusting God, not following God. So Solomon, through his life, was learning because he asked God to give him wisdom. Listen to that. He asked God, give me wisdom. You hear that? He asked. So Jesus, our master, who came from heaven to save us, to die for us, he was a human too. You know, he was 100% God. He is 100% God. And he was a human. And when he was going through the Calvary, you know, to the Calvary, he prayed. And he asked God, if it's your will, please, you know, if it's your will, allow this cup to go away, let it go. Because he knew what was coming. It was an easy thing. So imagine, he knew everything that going to happen to him. But because of love, he was willing to say, God, I surrender. I will do your will. I'm ready for. I know it will hurt, but I'm ready for. Then the third person, which is Miss Sharon Bailey. I made sure she was okay. So I met Sharon through St. Peter. When your church went there. I didn't knew Sharon before. So the first time I met Sharon, how can I describe it? You know, I was like, whoa. I never see a person so fast, so, you know, nervous about everything. Plus, when she told me that she have a germ problem, and she always had, listen, she doesn't have that all the time. Now, she had less time, but she always had a little bottle, brown bottle here, and a piece of toilet paper on the other hand. Plus, in her backpack, she had her bathroom with her. So, and I say, what are you doing with all of that? She said, I'm taking care of myself. But I didn't understand that she was afraid. She wasn't secure. She explained to me, this is alcohol. This is toilet paper. You know what it's for. So, and then she showed me her bathroom. So it was so difficult. And I didn't understand in the beginning. I said, well, you know, you're a Christian. Why are you so afraid? Why are you so nervous? Then the other story was when she started working in Batenan, you know, we had to go and help because she's working through the mission. I say, wow. You know, what this lady was going through there, how the people, the children The children in the Batays are more, I think it's because they eat a lot of sugar cane. I think it's that. But they have so much energy, and sometimes they move their energies. They come to be mean. You know, they come to be mean. And going there, and, you know, you say, oh, I had the call to go and share Jesus' love and share Jesus' word. And then going and being treated bad like she was. I saw it. I can confess I saw that. You know, for me it was difficult, but I can't imagine how difficult she was. So one night we were up in the balcony. She came and she said, I'm through. I'm not coming back. I'm not going there anymore. I'm not. It's hard. This is horrible. So I started talking to her and I said, Miss Sharon, you never see a soldier surrender at the first fight. A soldier is willing to fight until he wins or until he dies. You know, I said, you think this is easy? Just see what Jesus did. What Jesus did wasn't easy. It was very hard because he knew. He knew what going to happen to him. And she kept saying, Michael, 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 Michael. And I said, Michael, fight, fight. Let me tell you this. The reason I pick up this portion of the Bible is because we are to encourage each other. We are to help each other to go, to fight. The person that I knew then is not the person that I know now. Why is that? Because she was persistent. She was consistent, going and fighting and fighting and fighting. And she was listening to God. Not to me, you know, I say words, but she was listening to God because she surrendered. She said, God, here I go again. God, take care of me. You know, and she got so brave that she goes to the Batay and she spent time by herself and she sleep there with the people. And you have to see how they are with Sharon now, how they take care of her. But that took time. That took the process of being hurt physically or emotionally and spiritually. But she listened to the call. You know. So now, she's a better person. She's a knowledgeable person and a wiser person. I don't mean she wasn't wise. But on what she was doing, you know, God made her more mature. So I'm very excited. Very emotionally excited and spiritually excited. What God has for us together, St. Peter, Miss Suye, and Mr. Suye. So because we now have, the family is growing, so that means God is calling us to do more. So the fourth person is us. The four is us. So we go into the Bible. Okay, I will try to read it in English. That's why I ask Sharon to read it, because I don't read in English. I read and I understand. But for me to say it is very, you know. So consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face a trial of many kind. I will ask you a question. Which one of you, raise your hand, if not yet, we're not giving candy. So raise your hand when you are through a problem, through a situation, and you put, if it's a girl, the girl will say, this girl is on fire. No. Nobody is happy. When you're facing a situation, when you're having a problem, you're not happy. If you do, you're lying. Because nobody is. A hard situation make us cry, make us feel insecure, make us feel you know, sad or any kind of condition. So it is hard to be happy in a trial. It is hard to be happy in a circumstance that you don't have control. It is hard. So verse 2 says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. That's what I see in the process. If you keep going, you will be what? Say it.
Perseverance.
You have to fight. You have to stand up. It's not easy. It's hard. You know that. You know, you understand it's not easy. It is hard to stand up and go do what you have to do. You think it was easy for Moses when God called him to go take the God's people away from Egypt? It wasn't easy. I don't know what to say. I'm calling you to do it. And that's the problem. We see who? We see us. We see, oh, my nails, my beauty, all of that. We see our physical situations. We only see that because that's what we understand. We don't see the spiritual part, which is where God is calling us, bringing us. I always tell to people, I say, some people think, oh, when I die, God made us forever, no matter where. We are made forever. You know that? Some people think, oh, you're going to die and you'll be dead. It is true. Because apart from God, you're dead. You are dead. But you still are spiritually made forever. There or there. So where you want to be, where God want to bring you, is where you want to be. You don't want to go downstairs. It's different. It's almost like where I live. You know, it's hot. It's hot. So God called us for better. He called us for better. So because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, He is giving us only a He's not giving us. He allow us to go through a process. Not for bad. It is for better. So that's what we don't understand in the beginning. We don't understand. Even we hear it. We hear it thousands of times. It is for good. It is for good. It is for good. And we say, you know, it's like a mom telling a child, wake up, go to school. Wake up, go to school. It is for good. So verse four. Let perseverance finish work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking of anything. So, and a person that want to be professional had to go through a lot of reading, writing, testing, and then at the end you get, in Creole you call it l'argent, money, and that's what you work for. See, you study a lot and you complain. Oh, this teacher is giving me that. This teacher is saying that. But when you get the money, you don't complain. You know, you work for, you study for. So that's the same thing. Sometimes, you know, here said, let perseverance, if you are persistent, at the end, there will be a final product. It is the same as spiritually. You know, Moses wasn't Moses until he went through. David wasn't David until he went through. You know, Daniel, Jonas was, you know, he was swollen. But at the end, who wins? But he learned. You know that. So, verse 5 said, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God who gives generosity to all without finding fault. And it will be given to you. That's the problem. We never ask him first. That is the problem. We never ask God, here I am. I surrender myself to you because you made me. You allow me. You give me this opportunity. That is the problem humankind have. We take pride of what I do, of what I said, who I am. Remember, at the end, what's going to happen with everybody? Yes. And what you going to be presented to God? God, you made me. You thought about me before I was born. When you may have no pockets. You know, I don't know when you die. But, you know, what's Job say, naked I came, naked I'm going back. So what you going to give God back? I always say, I repent, not because I didn't want to go there. I repent because he's my creator. And I did wrong. I did wrong, and he thought about me, and he was so good to me that he decided to make. That's the thing here. God knows everything, and he knew how much we will fail. He knew how much you will do wrong. But God is so good that he still loves us. And he prepared us. So that's why he said, if you have a lack of wisdom, who you need to ask? Google. You don't ask Google. You can't ask Google. Google will tell you what wisdom is, but not the right thing. Wisdom comes from God. And especially we are looking for a better life, which is forever. Eternity with him who is our creator, who is our savior. I say savior. Savior. You know, we need to do things for him. Everything we do, God, you first. If you allow this to happen, you first. And that's what I see. That's why I mentioned Miss Sharon. Because the Bible tells me that I had to recognize those who work in the work of the Lord. You know, and I recognize this church because you send you people there. You send her there. It wasn't easy. You know, it wasn't easy, but it's worthy. So, verse 6, I think. When you ask, verse 6. But when you ask, you must ask believing, not doubting, not with doubt, because the one who doubt is like a wave of the sea, blow and what is that word? Tossed by the wind. You know how it is. The problem is, that's another problem we have. Why? Because we see us. If God opened the sea, if God allowed manna come from heaven, you think God will not help you? I'm talking the spiritual work. The physical work, that's our responsibility. Those are things that we have to do every day to survive. I'm talking about what we do spiritually. We don't trust God in the spiritual part because that's not our environment. Our environment is where we are and who we are. You can take care of that unless you do something wrong, you know, and make a mistake. So, but God is talking about spiritually. So, if you have a doubt, who you need to ask? God. If you need help with science, well, you go ask Google. You can go and ask Google. Google will tell you. But if you have doubt spiritually, God, What do you think? How do you think I need to do this? How do you think I need to go a next step? Ask God, and God will answer somehow. So, verse 7, the person should not expect to receive anything from, no. That person should not receive any, should not expect to receive anything from God. It's talking about the person that is doubting, because you're not sure. If you're not sure, you're not sure. You know, you need to be sure. And that that ensure come by faith. And faith come by trusting, by understanding. You know, faith is something that comes after you know the person. So it's the same with God. The Bible said faith come by hearing. By hearing the word, but then you understand because you're hearing words, you're hearing knowledge, you're hearing information. Oh, I didn't know that. So it's the same. When you're going through the process, you will see things, you will hear things, but you will be putting attention just to what God called you. So God called me to this. I'm sure he called me and he will, you know, he will, how do you say, I don't know anymore in English. He will be there for me. He will confirm. He will push me a little more little, but because I'm trusting. But if you're not trusting, you know, it's like me. I'm not trusting this step. So if I try to reach the next, I will fail. Because I don't trust that one. But that one is there for a reason. So God is always there for a reason. So verse 8. Such a person is double-minded and understandable in all they do. You know, I just say it. You think everything you do is right. But what about what he said? He had the last word. He had the last of everything. So who you should listen? To yourself? It is important. But he has the last word. I want to follow him. I want to listen to him. God, I'm yours. You make me for you. You make me for your glory. So every time I see myself, I'm not a cute, like I call Miss, I told Miss Sharon, a cupcake in Dominican Republic. You're the cupcake of your wife, which is a big bizcochito, you know. You know that, Christina? So I'm not a cupcake. But when I see myself, you know what I do? I say, God, thank you. Thank you for myself. Thank you for giving me these hands. Thank you for giving me these eyes. I say that. Because I see God in everything, including me. So we should do that. God, thank you for my hair. Thank you for allowing me to see this day. Thank you for reading. And that's what we are afraid of. When that day comes and no more air coming to us. But guess what? That's when life starts. So, this part is very difficult for me. The next three verses. There's nothing wrong on being rich. There's nothing wrong on being poor. There is nothing. The problem is where you put things, what place you put things. If God is first, you know, but what happened if my car is first? My house, my money, my everything I have. When all of that is first, that is the problem. And we always first. I'm first than anybody. That's wrong. In the eyes of God, He created us for Him. And thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for allowing me to be alive, for allowing me to be who I am. I am who I am because of you. Amen? So, I hope you understand the last three verses. And this last verse that I want to finish reading is James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the one who persevering under the trial because having, say that word, the test, that person will receive the crown of the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. So, my friend, let me tell you this. I'm ready for it. And I'm glad that God allowed me to be part of all of this. Because if he didn't allow me, I would not be here right now enjoying talking about him and how great he is. And enjoying my friends, my brothers and sisters, and this good weather. You know, he allowed me to be alive. So, remember this word to finish. Humility, or being humble. He called us to be humble. We must surround ourselves before God so we can be persistent and perseverant. Patient. It is a passive wait. Also, it is suffering without being surrendered to a problem or to a situation. Foundation. For a good foundation in our life, we must have Jesus in our lives. He is the base. He is the rock. He is the best base for you, foundation. And process. Let the process of your life happen, because if we are truly a follower of Christ, we will be humble and we will have a foundation on the rock that is Jesus Christ. So, don't forget this. God is in control. Trust in him. Surround. God bless you. Thank you very much, St. Peter.
Un momento, mi hermano. First, thank you. Have you been blessed, my brother? You can see why we fell in love with him, right? He's one of us. He has the same heart and passion that we do. And we hope that now on Sundays, when you look at the rock, you can think about this guy and what he's doing for our Savior in the Dominican Republic. And maybe today, we'll encourage you to see Miss Sharon and jump on one of her teams to go and be part of the exciting things that are happening there so that you can be part of God's hand and God's feet and God's voice there. One last thing that we always do, for those of you who are new to our church, we always put our missionary in the middle and we lay hands on and pray on them. Now, because of COVID, obviously we're not going to do that today. I'm going to lay hands on Mitchell and pray for him, and I'm going to ask all of you, just hold out your hands, and we're going to pray for Mitchell now. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you that we can take it in, that we can consume it, that it can be nourishment for our soul. Just like we need food to sustain life, we need your word to sustain us spiritually so that we can go and do what you've called us to do. Thank you, God, for bringing us that word through James today. Lord, we all face challenges. We all face struggles. And God, help us to count, no matter what we face, to count it all joy. That is so difficult for all of us to do, but God, help us to see you in the midst of everything that you have called us to. God, thank you for bringing Brother Mitchell into relationship with this church all these years ago. Thank you for the investment that he has in his home church in Verona. Thank you for the ministry that he does in Santa Elena and up the coast in all the little churches that he's having the opportunity to minister to. And thank you for his work with the church in Batay 9 alongside our brother, Pastor Albert. God, continue to go before him, lead his way as he makes a difference for your kingdom in Barona, in the province, all around it, in its surrounding territory. Lord, go with him and use him that he might lead people to know you and those who do know you to grow in relationship with you. In Jesus' great name, we pray these things. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Yeah. Amen. Are we ready for the video? Is it working? We're ready. Okay. So let the video roll. Hopefully this works. All of you pray that this video shows what Mitchell brought for us this morning.
He's calling them to that side. Llámala. Oh. Let's go.
Unlock the truck.
Just unlock. You good now?
Sir, it was very nice to meet you.
Que mucho gusto
Thank
conocer.
You very much. But if I ever see you again, it won't be here.
Adios.
If you go to the Dominican, look what you have to look forward to. Oh, my. We do have a lot of fun. We do some serious ministry there, but we do have fun as well. So praise God for that. Let's take time now to enter into our time of intercessory prayer, where we every week we pray for people that are in need in our church and our community. So let's